This is the Ladbrokes Channel 4 Racing Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Channel 4 Racing Podcast. My name is William Geldart, joined in the studio once again by Matt Mower and Ben Stones as we look ahead to this weekend's racing, including the final day of the July meeting at Newmarket featuring the July Cup. We're going to start off with that actually, so 3:45 then on your Saturday Group 1 contest over 6 furlongs. Matt, I'm going to start with you. Let's have a look at the market leaders then. Brazen Bow and Muhara, co-favourites. Are you looking past them? It's 10-1 bar those two, Brazen Bow and Muhara. Do you think those prices are a fair reflection, or do you think it's better to look elsewhere?
I do think they're probably a fair reflection on what they've both achieved. You know, they're by far and away got the best form in the race. But I'm not really one to back a 9-4 shot in a 15-runner race, so I am going to look past them. And one I really like is Anthem Alexander, who was behind Muhara at Royal Ascot in the Coronation Cup. But I think she's open to improvement, and I think at 12-1 she's a very good price. You know, fillies have a really good record in this race, and more importantly, she's got a lovely draw. I think in the last six runnings, when the ground's been better than good, all of the winners have come from stalls 1-5. So that looks like a pretty big stat to me. Eddie Lynham obviously won this race last year with Slade Power, and he said that they might tweak the tactics a little bit compared to when they ran her at Royal Ascot. Said they'd let her have her own way a little bit rather than hold her up, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing in these big field sprints. So yeah, I'm going to side with Anthem Alexander.
All right, Ben, Matt's made his case strongly for Anthem Alexander. I'm not sure you're going to agree. Brazen Bow, obviously one of the co-favourites, Diamond Jubilee second, beaten by Undrafted. Trainer Chris Waller, though, is bullish about the Australian sprinter's chances. He said even better order than before the Royal Meeting. But then he would say that, wouldn't he? Wearing the colours of Godolphin for the first time. And what do you reckon to Brazen Bow? Are you going to be looking beyond that?
Yeah, normally I'm not one to pick for short price runners in these big sprints. But I mean, I really like the chances to Brazen Bow. He wasn't really done many favours in the Diamond Jubilee. I know his jockey came in for a lot of stick. He raced alone on the near on the stand side that day at Ascot, and he didn't really have any cover whatsoever. And I think he did really well to finish as close as he did. James Doyle comes in for him, who I really like. And as you say, Chris Waller's he's been pretty bullish about the horse's chances. How he's better than he was before Ascot, and that's always the worry when you've got the Australian horses perhaps coming over for Ascot and these big races, whether they'll handle the travelling. Obviously, he did for Ascot. He's had time to bed down, I suppose, in the UK. So I think there's more to come from him, and I think he's the one to beat. That being said, the two at the top of the market are short. In terms of these races can be messy, I suppose, and you need plenty of luck in running. One I do like, a bigger price, if you're that way inclined, is Astaire. Now, we seem to have been seeing it the first day in the first couple of first few races at the July meeting this week, that running prominently tends to do your favours. And I just think Astaire could perhaps go from the front and finish strongly up the slight hill that there is at the finish at Newmarket on the July course. And he might hang on for a place. He's won three of his five runs at either of the Newmarket courses. So he obviously likes trips to headquarters. And he's only got a length and three quarters to make up on Brazen Bow. He's about a 20-1 shot. And I think he might be worth an each way interest if you're not one to go with the shorties.
Yeah, one thing I will say about Brazen Bow, I mean, I think it was a fantastic performance at Ascot on his own. He got no cover whatsoever. But Australian trained horses have a terrible record in this race, especially coming from Royal Ascot where they've had plenty of success. I think in the last 10 years, they've had 11 runners, and in the last 8 years, they've had 5 favourites. And over that period, they've had no winners and just 2 place finishes. So that's a pretty big stat in that favour as well, in that sense as well. Of the two at the top of the market, I'd probably rather be on Muhara. He gets £6 off of Brazen Bow on penalties, and if ratings are anything to go by, I think they're both rated the same by the handicapper, and Muhara has a higher Racing Post rating. So you know that weight difference could be big if you're going to take like how they're rated literally.
Yeah, Muhara, obviously Commonwealth Cup winner, good one at that. He had a spin round July course in last year's July Stakes. I mean, he found Jungle Cat and Ivorwood too good then. but has improved a lot. And obviously we'll be looking to take it to Brazen Bow. Should be a fascinating shootout if it is going to be these two contesting it at the finish. Let's have a look at a few others, though. A little theme here, maybe, keeping the faith. Would either of you be keeping the faith in Soul Power or G-Force? Soul Power, obviously fifth in this event 2 years ago. Struggled to find room on that occasion, which could always be a problem. Of course, the gamble didn't land on him in the King's Stand at Royal Ascot this year. And G-Force, who let me down in the King's Stand, coming dead last, never on terms. But I think, again, one of these ones that's likely to attract a bit of each-way money.
Yeah, I think the thing with both these horses, though, they're probably... Well, Soul Power, we know, is better over 5 furlongs. He's not from 10 over 6, or he's 11 from 39 over 5. So that tells a story there. I don't know whether he didn't quite, obviously, finish off the race in the King's Stand, obviously running a real credible race anyway, to finish fifth. It's perhaps... You probably struggle to write him off completely, but I think he's probably opposable back up in trip. And G-Force is another one. He's perhaps not quite so considerably better at 5 furlongs than he is at 6. But he's not... I mean, the Temple Stakes run at Haydock, where he sort of almost went down, you can perhaps forgive, but he just absolutely bottomed out at Ascot. And you'd have to take a big leap of faith, I think, to be getting stuck into G-Force this weekend.
Yeah, quite possibly. I'm going to take my own leap of faith with Jack Dexter. I mean, he's been running well of late, fairly consistent. It was also a fancy put up on Ladbrokes News. I mean, he's only finished outside of the first four once in the last 7 starts. All of those fields had 10 runners or more. I think Jim Goldie's chance got plenty left to offer for me. I think he would do much better than his 33-1 odds suggest. 6 furlongs should suit, and I'm looking for a bit of improvement, or a lot of improvement, I should say, from last year's 10th placing in this. Just another word for, or a word, sorry, for Mutmir as well. Obviously, King Stand stakes third. Comes here even better. Could have been even better that day, but for a bump. Real speedster, though. I mean, trainer William Haggis said he's got no concerns about the step up in trip. And a few question marks, but, you know, maybe, again, one of those each-way shouts.
Yeah, potentially. He needs to settle better, though. That's the thing. He did all his chances in a course and distance handicap last year. He pulled far too hard in the early stages. He ran well in the King's Stand, finished fifth. He needs another step up, literally, in trip, I suppose, and in class, I suppose, meeting these horses that are proper 6 furlong horses. William Haggis is in decent form, so you can't write him off. I think he's had 6 winners from his last 16 runners or something like that. So he's going well, and he warrants respect. But again, he needs to show that the 6 furlongs will suit.
All right, that's the July Cup wrapped up. Let's move on to, we're going chronologically backwards here, the 3.10 at Newmarket, the Bunbury Cup, 7 furlong contest with 20 runners at present. Heritage Handicap, I mean... You both know I love a trend, so I'll come up to my selection and justify it using some kind of botched methodology in a bit. But Ben, let's start with you on the Bunbury Cup. I mean, this is a big competitive handicap. I'm expecting lots of different opinions. Who are you leaning towards?
I like the Jolly AR. He ran well to finish. He probably ran better than the position suggested. He finished 9th in the Royal Hunt Cup. He probably hit the front a bit too soon there. Apps didn't quite get home. And as you're talking about trends, 6 of the last 9 winners of this race have come from that race. So that goes in his favour, just to steal that trend from you there. But back down in trip, I think AR can run a massive race. 4 of his 5 wins have come at 7 furlongs. He's a Group 3 winner in Germany. He's got to reverse the form with the likes of Chill the Kite and Bronze Angel. But I think the drop in trip down to 7 will suit him more than it will suit them. So I think there's no reason why he can't do that. Before that, he won the Spring Cup at Newbury in really nice style, and there's been plenty of winners coming out of that race, and I think he's a worthy favourite and he'll take all the beating here.
Matt, how about you? Do you go along with Ben, or are you looking elsewhere?
I do think IR's a worthy favourite, actually, and I think he'll have a very, very good chance in the day. But again, I'm going to look for a bit of value, maybe in each race out, at a slightly bigger price. I had a look at the trends as well, and I struggled to narrow it down, really. There wasn't too many that stuck out, but one that sort of did catch my eye is that the higher-rated horses tend to do well in this. So I've been taking a look at the top of the weights, and one that stood out for me is Field of Dream. He's 8 years old now, and he's not going to get any better, but he's a real veteran and won this back in 2013. And on last year's form, he's definitely capable of still winning these big handicaps. Won the Royal Hunt Cup at Ascot, where he had Chill the Kite behind, and made his comeback run at Royal Ascot last month, where he ran really fresh. You know, he's almost a year off the track, and he was bumped, but you know, he's sure to come on for that. You can almost write that off. He's a bit do or die, so you might not necessarily get a run for your money, but at 25-1, it could be worth a few quid.
Yeah, definitely plenty of juice in Field of Dream, and we're all going to be using these different trends, I think, to justify our selections. Chill the Kite then, for me, again, a few trends that, as Ben mentioned, stole my thunder. 6 out of the last 9 winners had been in the Royal Hunt Cup. Chill the Kite, obviously this year's Royal Hunt Cup 3rd. And Matt, you also mentioned about the weights. So horses carrying 9.7 or more have won 5 of the last 10 renewals. Interesting though, Ben, favourites have only won 1 of the last 10 renewals. So we're all picking holes in each other. There are obviously trends that will disprove a lot of what I've said about Chill the Kite. But again, like Matt, I think if you want to run for your money, I think Chill the Kite's, you know, it's going to appreciate the ground, the sound of service, I think, and I'm pretty keen.
While we're talking about getting a run for your money, one worth mentioning perhaps is Lulu the Zulu. Now, she was far too keen in the Victoria Cup at Ascot this year and was well beaten. But other than that, she's finished in the first 2 in 7 of her last 8 runs over 7 furlongs. So she's one that will really give you a good run for your money. She's only beaten ahead by Zawan in a Newcastle handicap recently. And she comes in with the same... comes in with the same mark here, but it's got Alistair Rawlinson on the back, taken off £5, so effectively dropped £5 for only going down ahead in another Class 2 handicap. So that one could go well, I think, as well.
And yeah, just a small word for Windfast, another one who makes his comeback after a year off the track for Brian Meehan. Finished 4th last year in a really strong Jersey Stakes, so he's a genuine group horse as a 3-year-old. It could be a bit of a big ask to win a huge handicap like this after a year off the track. You know, he's got plenty of class, and if you're looking for an animal that could potentially go on to win bigger things than this, then that might be the one for you.
All right, that's all we've got, I think, on the Bunbury Cup. I'm going to have to start a Bunbury Cup sweepstake, I think, at this rate. Let's round off then. The final race we're going to look at in this podcast is the 2:45 at Ascot, also live on Channel 4, the Summer Mile Stakes, 1 mile round, Group 2 contest. The big news here is Tormore's out, swerving this for Goodwood, which leaves Arrod as your market leader. Could he come a cropper though against the unbeaten and improving Lightning Spear?
Not for me. I think this one's probably the better of the day. Campaigned last year over longer distances, and I think dropping down to a mile could be the making of this horse. Really nice run in the lockings to finish 3rd. He's boxed in, and I think he definitely would have got closer to the winner if he wasn't. He'll love the fast ground at Ascot, and I was really impressed with him last time out when he won the Diam Stakes comfortably, under hands and heels as well. I just think he gallops everyone into submission. He ran really keen as well for the first couple of furlongs, so in the end, that sort of winning distance, how easy it was pretty impressive. Thoroughly unexposed over a mile, and you know, I think he'd be my selection even if Tormore ran.
Yeah, as you mentioned, that win last time out was very taking, and a prominent runner and one who can dictate the pace, obviously now a group winner to boot, very likeable. Ben, how about you? How are you leaning in the Summer Mile Stakes?
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with Matt in that Arrod is a very good horse and will take a lot of beating here, but there's one I like at an each way price, is Bow Creek. This horse was last of 6 in the Bet365 mile at Sandown, so that, you know, doesn't look great. But if you look further back, he was beaten on return both of his last 2 seasons, so it looks like he often needs the run. Before that, back in September, he won the Boomerang Mile at Leopardstown. Yeah, Gordon Lord Byron and Mustajeeb, who went on to finish 4th in the Diamond Jubilee, behind him that day. So that form looks absolutely rock solid. Before that, he won the Celebration Mile at Goodwood, where he hung badly across the track. Still managed to run on a nice winner. He had Order Combat behind that day, who reopposes again. He's got cheek pieces on, which he had on at Sandown, and perhaps that will stop the hanging across the track. And I think he's about 10-1 shot. So he's obviously got the quality. He's beaten some really good horses in the past, and I think with that comeback run behind him, he could come on and could run a massive race.
Yeah, I did have a little look at Bow Creek. I'm speculatively going to put up Order Combat, or Rue du Combat, or however you say it, second in a listed contest here back in April behind the rear-posing Muharib. But obviously there is form lines that say he's behind a couple of these at least. That was followed by 10th in the lock-in, which then second last time out in a Group 3 at Newmarket. I mean, it is another tough test, but I think he's got potential place claims. Just to go back to Lightning Spear, obviously we're saying the improver, Nashi Murphy, took him for a victorious spin around Salisbury last time out and hampered early on, but came through that impressively and got to be respected.
Yeah, he's been impressive. His four runs he's come, you know, obviously he's unbeaten. He looks really... Obviously, he needs to step up and prove that he's group class. Ollie Stevens said he considered the Bunbury Cup for this horse, but he was worried about getting a poor draw or about getting boxed in. So perhaps with less runners here, he can run a decent race. He's £13 behind Arad on official rating. So obviously, he's got to step up. But any horse that comes into a race unbeaten has got to be respected. But for me, he's got to prove that he's group quality against some horses that we know are group two level, group two, group three level.
Yeah, and I suppose we should have a word for third favourite as well, Cable Bay. A lot of these are ran in the lock-ins, actually, so the form ties in quite well. This one was fifth, and he absolutely rattled home that day. He looked like he was probably going to finish 10th or around that sort of position, and out of nowhere found another gear, and maybe another 100 yards might have even got to the leader. I think Arod would have probably finished further ahead of him, though, had he had a clear run. And I'm not 100% sure he'll be able to reverse that form. It does look an improved horse this year, however, so he's entitled to probably progress again. Followed that lock-in's run up with a win in the John O'Gaunt, but it was sort of quite a gritty performance, and I'm not sure he's got that sort of touch of class that Avrod has got, and I think he'd probably prefer a little bit more cut in the ground. It's going to be, I think everything's playing into Avrod's hands, to be honest, tomorrow.
Okay, which leads us to the end and the chance for you both to put up your best bet. And I think, Matt, you've pretty much made your case there, haven't you?
Yeah, I think Arod's a very likely winner tomorrow. But if you're looking for a little bit of value at a double-figure price, then Anthem Alexander's got a very good chance in the July Cup as well, I think.
Yeah, for me, best bet, probably AR in the Bunbury Cup. I think he's primed to run a really big race in this, and he might be favourite. I think there's plenty of juice in the price. I think he's about 5-6-1 shot. I think he's probably a class above these horses, and he's probably borderline listed group level, so he'll be the one for me.
I would probably go with Arrow, but just for something a bit different. I'm going to go for Jack Dexter each way, as I said earlier, in the July Cup. Probably only worth, you know, half a point, so don't go mad for that one. But thanks very much, gents. That wraps it up, I think, for us. We've only looked at 3 of the 10 live races on Channel 4 tomorrow. Don't forget, if you back a winner at 4-1 or greater, we'll give you a free bet up to £25. Head to ladbrokes.com online, on mobile and on tablet for all the latest odds. Good luck with your bets. We'll catch you again next time.